प्रसंगेन रात्रे चोर प्रसंगेन प्रभाते यू नो प्रभात मीन्स मॉर्निंग इंटेलिजेंट पीपल इन द मॉर्निंग दे डिस्कस अबाउट द्यूत देन मध्य मीन्स आफ्टरनून दे डिस्कस अबाउट स्त्री विमेन एंड इन द नाइट दे डिस्कस अबाउट चोर थीव्स यू वंडर हाउ कम दिस इज सच अ बैड टॉपिक टू डिस्कस अबाउट एवरी वन इज टॉकिंग अबाउट विमेन एंड थेफ्ट्स एंड मर्डर्स एंड Youth means gambling. These are all bad qualities, right? Then how do we say intelligent people discuss about this? Because Dyut Prasangena means Mahabharata. We know that the cause of Mahabharata was the gambling match. The whole Leela was orchestrated by that. So in the morning, intelligent people discuss about Mahabharata. Then in the afternoon, Stri. Stri means Ramayana. The whole Ramayana was around Sita, right? If Sita wouldn't have gone to the forest, then Ravan wouldn't have kidnapped her and there wouldn't have been any battle of Ramayana. So afternoon they discuss about Ramayana. And Ratri Chor, who's the Chor? Krishna is Makhan Chor, right? So in the night they discuss about Krishna. So that is why it is known that intelligent people discuss about these three things. And actually that has been our Bhartiya Sanskriti. People always used to get together to discuss these type of things. But as we see that it's becoming more and more rare to find such conversations going on, especially among the youth. But this is our culture. So just wanted to remind you that few days back, we celebrated the birthday of the Chor. We celebrated which festival? Janmashtami. So we were celebrating the festival of Janmashtami on a large scale. You'd be happy to know that 180 countries all over the world celebrated Janmashtami. Not only in India, but all over the world. And by how many people? Millions of people in millions of places and on a huge, large scale. Big chor, big party. Bigger the person, the bigger the party there has to be. And this justifies why? Because one of the qualities of God is, one of the six qualities God has is that He is all famous. Many people call themselves Bhagwan, but they are local Bhagwans, you know. Their birthdays are not celebrated everywhere. But this is real Bhagwan. So His quality is, He is all famous. We have to thank God only that still God is all famous. At least till now He is famous. So we are trying to do that. And we see that how it is celebrated all over the world. Because He means He is a universal God. That is why it is celebrated. If we celebrate the birthday of Queen Elizabeth, it would be only in England. India has got nothing to do with that. If it is Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, only India will celebrate. Nowhere else. Nelson Mandela, it would be in Africa. No other place would celebrate. But Krishna is celebrated everywhere. And definitely, we have to thank ISKCON for that. To have made God so famous. He was already famous, but He became even more world-renowned because of the contribution of ISKCON. So, we know that when I came into contact with ISKCON, I was really wondering, as I was talking to some girls last time, that the idea about religion we have is somebody shaven-headed and no family, no house, and you have left everything and you stay in the temple whole time. That's the concept of religion we have. Traveling by road or bullock cart or on foot you are walking. But when we joined ISKCON, we saw that it was a very revolutionary movement. People were all normally dressed like everybody is now. They used to travel by car or by flights to go for preaching programs. And they stayed at home, they had families, they were married. Everything was going on as it is, and still they practiced very high standards of devotion. So it was very new concept to the youngsters who were joining that how come, you know, it's very contradictory to the concept of religion that we all had. So we realized that definitely ISKCON is a revolutionary movement. Not very easy to understand. So if we go to the definition of revolution, I just looked up the dictionary to see the definition. It says, revolution is what? A sudden, radical or complete change. Another definition is, an activity or movement designed to effect fundamental changes in the socio-economic situation and also a fundamental change in the way of thinking or visualizing something. Basically a paradigm shift, change in the paradigm of looking at things. And also I looked up the synonym for revolution and it means shake up or reorganization. So then it made sense, you know, that why ISKCON is like this. because the definition fit in it very well. And actually, if you try to analyze history, most of us in school we have studied history. What is history? History is simply a series of revolutions and wars. You agree? Periodically there have been so many revolutions. This revolution, that revolution, this war, that war. Full history is full of that. So today I thought we would just take up a few revolutions that have happened in the history. And the first one, we'll take up only a few which are quite famous, because there are hundreds of them. We don't have the time to discuss about them. So one of the revolutions was the American Revolution, which happened in 1781. In that, what happened? All the colonists who were staying in America, they became so unhappy to pay their taxes to Great Britain. Everybody had to pay taxes, so they began to revolt. They resisted. And ultimately, after a lot of back and forth situations that took place, what happened? It became an independent country. And the revolution was successful. Another was the French Revolution. What was that about? It was about an encounter of competing classes. Different higher class, lower class, rich class, poor class, all of them conflicting among themselves, and it brought about great social upheavals all over France at that time. And another one was the Great Industrial Revolution that took place. And that happened in 1848. And during this, what happened? Major changes took place in the manufacturing and transportation mechanisms which were going on, which are the backbone of industry. We know that industry goes on because of that. And because of so much of changes, they upgraded the machines, they changed the systems. What happened? Again, there was socio-economic conditions in Britain were all disturbed. So that happened in 1848. And then there was the Green Revolution. That was in 1968. What happened during that? Green signifies agricultural. So it was where they introduced the use of pesticides and high-yielding varieties of the food grains to increase the production of the food grains that were being done at that time. So that was the Green Revolution. But by far the most famous one of the 20th century was which one? The Russian Revolution. We all know communism was there in Russia, and everybody was revolting against that. They wanted democracy. And as a result of that, they were all revolting against the economic oppression that was going on during that period. And a lot of things happened. Ultimately, of course, they also became successful. So we see that there are so many significant changes took place in the world order because of all these revolutions that kept happening. What are the different changes? Internally, it transformed the whole society. It also altered the situation between different states, between countries, between individuals, between societies. So many things kept on changing. Everything got, even between individuals, there was so much of change that happened at that time. And obviously, it brought about new ideas at the fundamental level. That was a major change that took place. But if you see how it happened, how the whole procedure through which these revolutions took place was how? Lot of bloodshed. Naturally, wars were there, riots were there, and bloodshed usually of innocent people, of those who are not involved in the revolution. Those who are involved in the revolutions are sitting in their offices, and the innocent people, they are slain, they are murdered. And that is why it is said that the 20th century was by far the bloodiest century. In the last almost 2,000-3,000 years, the maximum bloodshed took place during this century. And we can understand, because any change involves struggle. People are going to resist. It's not going to be very smooth that people are going to accept it. Oh great, we should change and it's for the better. Because you cannot understand how it is for the better until after the whole revolution is over. And India was also not spared from it. We have so many freedom fighters. We had Krantikari, Shahid Bhagat Singh. Krantikari means revolutionary. He was there. Subhash Chandra Bose was there. Our great father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, was there. So much blood, so much of energy they put into trying to bring independence to India. They wanted to do it in non-violent way. Gandhiji, he was so much preaching non-violence, non-violence. We should achieve it in this way. We should achieve it in that way. But what happened? Was it successful? No. India-Pakistan separation. Hindu-Muslim riots were there. On the day of India-Pakistan separation, Gandhi was the most pained person. There was nobody more sadder person than, because it's completely contrary to the idea that he had, what he wanted, although the goal was achieved, but at what cost? To the extent that he himself was ruthlessly shot. He wanted non-violence, but he was also killed like that. So with all good intentions, however, there was no success. But definitely we cannot forget the sacrifices that these people did, because of whom today we are able to very proudly celebrate 15th August as our Independence Day. It's a very important day in India that everybody celebrates. It's a national holiday. At a large scale, everybody is celebrating that. But still, we see the question we have to ask is that, are we more happier after the British left? After all that India had to go through, are we more happier after the British left? No. Still the same inhuman activities carry on. Still riots are there. Still terrorism is there. Cruelty, hatred, all that is there in so many of our hearts that it has become a very insecure place to live in. We don't know where the next bomb is going to blast, under us, above us, where it's going to be, to the extent that even temples have to go through security checks, because they don't even spare anything. They don't give respect to that, because this is the home of God. At least we should not do that. So, it is become, the world is going from bad to worse. So much of stress is there in the whole environment, that what's going to happen tomorrow, we just cannot understand that. And it seems that it's going from bad to worst. Not improving, and nobody knows how to put it in right order. Even if somebody knows, they don't have the power to do that, right? We all are waiting for some prime minister or some president who will come on the dais and will be able to boldly say that the world does not need economic growth. The world does not need economic growth. It needs what? It needs to have some moral and cultural values. Does anybody have the guts to say that today? They know that if I say that, I will be voted out of seat. So who wants that? Rather let what's going on go on. At least my seat is there with me. Nobody has the guts or the courage to be able to boldly say that this is what we want. And actually that is what happened when Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder Acharya, he met his spiritual master, who was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. That time Srila Prabhupada was a Gandhian. He was following the doctrines of Gandhi. And when he met Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, who was a spiritual master later on, when he went to meet him, he offered obeisances and he told him that, you are an English speaking man, you should go to the Western countries and spread the message of God to them. And at that time, Prabhupada told him that, how can I do that? First let India get its independence, then we can even think of preaching God consciousness and all. So at that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj made a very profound statement. He said, Krishna consciousness is an emergency situation. It cannot wait for any political changes. Today there is democracy, tomorrow there will be communism, today there is Hindus, tomorrow there will be Muslims. So many this ism, that ism, things will keep changing. But Krishna consciousness is emergency. It cannot wait for any of these changes. So it was at that very moment that what happened? The seed of urgency of Krishna consciousness was sown in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. And what did he try to explain to the world? That there is no time. Time is so less. We all don't know how long we are going to live. Time is so less. Why to waste time and energy fighting amongst ourselves? Just because you are of a different caste, I am of a different caste. You are of a different nationality, I am of a different nationality. Why to fight amongst ourselves when there are even more stronger, powerful forces that are there to confront us? We have seen sometimes lot of fights are there in a family, small family. But if some outsider attacks, then they all become one. You remember in Mahabharata, between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, there was fighting going on. But when the Gandharvas attacked, what did Yudhishthira Maharaj tell? That when it is amongst us, they are 100 and we are 5. But some outside force attacks, then we are 105. We are all from one family, so we should fight together. So at such a time, when we have more powerful forces confronting us, why should we waste our time and energy in these petty things that you are of a different nature and I am of a different caste, and so we should have these fights going on. So what type of forces he was talking about? He was talking about the forces of Kali. Kaliyug is this age which we are living in. We know that Satyug, Dwaparyug, Tretayug and Kaliyug, There are four yugas that the whole universal cycle is divided into. And today we are living in Kali Yuga. And we have only passed about 5,000 years and we see the situation is so worst. We pray to God that we don't live till the end of Kali Yuga to see what's going to happen. We don't want to live till there. We should go back to God before that only. And the way it is going, we cannot even imagine. I don't think anybody can imagine. It's only God knows what will happen tomorrow. Nobody else would know what's going to happen. So the message that the scriptures and the saints are giving is quite loud and clear. That don't waste your time in doing all this. And don't do violence to yourself. We feel that we are non-violent. They are doing violence. Terrorists are doing violence. This one is doing violence. But I am non-violent. But actually the scriptures say that if we do not address the prime purpose for which this rare human birth has been given, then we are the most violent people. And the word used is Atmaha. Atmaha means the killer of the soul, the killer of Atma. So that is the biggest violence anybody can do. So according to that definition, what happens? We are all violent people. Nobody is spared from this. And that is the precise reason that to save India, not only India, actually the whole world, Srila Prabhupada, he took up this challenge of starting what? A bloodless revolution. That is the topic which we wanted to discuss today, that most revolutions in this world involved a lot of bloodshed. But Srila Prabhupada started a bloodless revolution. So what is the meaning of a bloodless revolution? We will take after we discuss that how and when this revolution was actually inaugurated. Prabhupada took on the baton later on, but it was inaugurated 500 years ago. By whom? By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If for those of you who don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are two deities on our left. And one is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and one is Nityananda Prabhu. They are the incarnations of God in the age of Kali Yuga. In different ages, different incarnations of God came. Ram came in Treta Yuga, Krishna came in Dwapar Yuga, Narsingdev came in Satyuga. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga. And what did he do? He inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And we see that even during that time, there was so much of cruelty because it has been coming down through the ages. But he used a different method. Many incarnations of God have come down. And during their period, they also did many reforms. But actually those reforms, some bloodshed had to take place. Because people didn't do according to what they wanted. Ram gave a lot of chances to Ravan to surrender to him. But Ravan didn't take up the chances. So there had to be Ramayana battle. Then Krishna was also, immediately told that there should be a war. He gave a chance. He himself became a Shantidut. And he went to the Kauravas to bring about peace. But when they didn't listen, what happened? If you don't listen, then there has to be war. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prophesied a different method. What did he do? Even during his time, there was a very cruel person. And his name was Chand Kazi. This Chand Kazi was such a terror that even if air passed his body and touched somebody, people would feel themselves contaminated and they would have to take a bath. He was such a terrorist according to what we would say. And he would not allow any holy activities to go on. If Kirtan was going on anywhere, he would pick up the mridang and break it. He would beat up the devotees and he would make stay orders that if anyone chanted was hurt doing Kirtan or anything, what we will do? We will kill them. We will beat them up. So this type of news was going on. And devotees were getting little afraid. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He said, why are you all afraid? Don't worry, come with me. And what did he do? He started the first civil disobedience movement. Gandhiji started the first civil disobedience movement. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started it. And he took weapons. What was his weapons? He took the weapon of the holy name. There was no bloodshed in it. He went with a whole group of devotees. Thousands of them joined him. And all with raised hands, they were all chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And through the loud chanting of these holy names, what happened? The heart of this Kazi, it began to tremble. And it got transformed simply by the power of sound vibration. If we know sound vibration is very powerful, when there is a bomb blast, simply because of the sound, sometimes the surrounding things all crack and break and all, even though they are kilometers away, but still because of the impact of the sound. So sound is so powerful, and that is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this civil disobedience movement, and with the weapon of the holy name, he injected love in the heart of the Qazi to such an extent that the Qazi with folded hands, he told him that from today I declare that all the Hindus and Muslims under my locality will stay together. And even till date in that area of Bengal, they stay very lovingly. There could be riots all over India. But the Hindus and Muslims in that area, very lovingly, peacefully they stay. They celebrate each other's festivals and very peaceful environment is there. Even today that is going on. So the same spirit that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had of this bloodless revolution, the baton was taken up by Srila Prabhupada in Parampara. And what did he do? He began a one-man army. Can you imagine a one-man army? If you have hundreds of soldiers coming from the opposite side and you just take a sword and you go, what will happen? You'll start trembling. No, it's too massive a force. I can't face it. But that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He dared to do that. And at what level? Not national level. Not social level, at a global level. He was ready to face the entire material energy. Why? Just to save you and me. Just to save all of us from the dangers and the perils of this age of Kali. And it was not very easy, as it has not been easy for any revolutionary. He had to struggle from pillar to post. Because of the instruction that was given by his spiritual master that you go to the West and spread this movement to the Western people in the English speaking language, but he had no support. He had no support from his family, he had no support from his society, nobody supported him. And to that extent that when he left the shores of India to go to the West, he went by the route of the sea. That time airplanes were very costly, and somebody granted him a free ticket via Jaladut, which was a ship from the Scandia steamship company. So he got a free passage on that. So when he went by ship, he was leaving the Calcutta docks. And at that time, imagine if you are going abroad for the first time, how many of your relatives and well-wishers would come to drop you? Oh, my daughter is going first time to US, I should go to drop, the uncle will come, the aunt will come. Everybody would come. But when Srila Prabhupada left the shores of India, nobody was there to see him off. At that time he had a realization. What was his realization? That all that remains of relations in this world is only a list of names. Think about it, it's a very deep statement. All that remains of our so-called relatives, our friends, who claim to be so much to us, all selfishly. What, when you really need them, all that remains is only a list of names. And when he left, such a big ambassador of God, with such a message of God he was carrying to the Western country, a small article appeared, a small passage appeared in the newspaper in Calcutta, one of the newspapers, and the headline said, India's message of peace and goodwill, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta. And 5-6 lines came about it. For such a big ambassador of God, and today we see in the newspaper, a small actress, not even an actress, a becoming actress, she celebrated her birthday somewhere, and front page coverage. Nonsense going on, and we all support it. How is it going to benefit the world? If somebody, unknown silly actress, celebrates her birthday and a front page coverage, and for such important things, no value for it. And we all are supporting these type of things. This is the state of affairs that we should wake up to. Anyway, so when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, even before he reached the shores of the US, he had to undergo so much of seasickness for days, not only for one day, two days, because the journey by ship takes long time, it's not a very short journey. Days of seasickness, then he had 2 heart attacks on board the ship, and they were quite fatal. And nobody was there to help him, and still he continued to do that. He didn't decide, okay, I should go back. And he was not a very young man, he was 70 years of age. Usually that is the age when we plan to retire, most of our grandparents, even parents. Nobody starts something at 70. But this person started a world revolution He started a world movement at the age of 70. And what was the weapons he used? Can I have a pair of kartals? What was the weapons he used to do this? This was the weapon he used. Do you all know what this is? These are called kartals. He had just taken a pair of kartals with him and he went to New York City, which is the capital of sin. You can't walk on the streets of New York City during certain periods of the day. It's not safe at all. And he sat in the middle of a park and he just took two symbols and he started chanting. He started chanting Hare Krishna over there. And what happened? A revolution started. Only with two kartals. Seems unbelievable. And even we devotees, those of us who are here, we have heard this so many times. But even after hearing it, if you think about it deeply, imagine to start a world revolution with 20 rupee kartal. Doesn't cost more than 20 rupees. 20, 30 rupees. And with this, what did he do? Srila Prabhupada united the whole world under one flag. Today, if you, as a devotee of ISKCON, even if you go to Africa, and if you see people with tilak, then you feel, oh, apna hai. My person, you know. Immediately you can identify. You feel that connection. And who did that? This kartals, which is so cheap. And we see that in today's day and age, thousands of rupees of TV, even one family divides off. Everyone has a TV in their own room. There is no unity. The TV divided and these two kartals, what it did? United the world. Even saying this, my hair is standing on end. That was the impact. And in fact, when Srila Prabhupada, he reached the West, it was in the 60s. And there was another revolution already going on in the 60s. Which revolution? The hippie revolution. And not only was it going on, it was at its peak. Such a peak that there were people who were lower than animals. Actually, somebody mentioned that they were like human beasts. Means they didn't, they had no, they didn't follow any codes of conduct, no human conduct, nothing they followed. No bathing was there. They didn't know what to eat. They ate anything. Sometimes they would not wear anything. Nothing. They were just doing whatever was going on in their mind. And the drama which we saw right now, the drama of Mrigari, in this way, Prabhupada transformed the hearts of so many Mrigaris. This was one hunter whose heart was transformed by Narad Muni. And Srila Prabhupada, in the same parampara of Narad Muni, he transformed the hearts of so many Mrigaris. Like that. Same, like, bloodlessly. He taught him how not to kill the animals and you should have a very peaceful approach. And in the same way, Prabhupada told like that. So he became like one sandalwood tree, Prabhupada. When if you have one sandalwood tree in the whole forest, what happens? It makes the whole forest very fragrant. Even one tree is enough to make it fragrant. So this is what he did. He made people join God's revolution. The biggest revolution is God's revolution, right? Everybody wants to be part of something great, that, oh, something great is happening there, I want to be part of it. Something great is happening there, I want to be included in it. So Prabhupada started enrolling everybody in God's revolution. And thousands of people started taking up to it because they could receive the call of the hour. His call was a call of compassion and of love. That was the call that was going on at that time. And people could understand, okay, here is this person who has not come to cheat me. Today you are never sure why somebody is behaving good with you. What do you want? Anything? Please maintain your distance. You never know. So, people knew that we are not going to be cheated here. And the impact that it was having on the people was disturbing to the government also. To the extent that one police officer, in one small city, he called the local people and he asked that, how many Hare Krishna devotees you think is in this city? There was a small temple and there were a handful of devotees there. But when he asked the local citizens, okay, how many Hare Krishnas do you think there are? So they said what? 30,000. And the police said 30,000. But actually there were not so many. But the small number of devotees that were there, they were doing so much of preaching that everywhere they were seen. Like in Ravan's army, they saw Ram everywhere. They saw Ram here, they saw Ram there. Similarly, they saw devotees everywhere. Devotees were on the airport, devotees were in the subway, some devotees were distributing books, some were in the theater. So small amount of devotees, and they thought there are 30,000 devotees, and everybody got so scared. And soon this whole revolution carried on from US to UK. It went, then it went to Australia, then it went to Africa, and slowly the entire globe was encircled. Everyone was taken into the grip of that. And when Prabhupada was asked that, when he went to UK, Prabhupada was very happy. He said, the Britishers came and they conquered India, and now we will conquer the British. By our Krishna consciousness, we will do that, and the world will see that. And at that time in Russia, there was only two big things, two things that the people were scared of, two threats. You know what? The American Coca-Cola and the Hare Krishnas. They were terrorized by that, you know, that what impact is happening because of these two things. Everybody was so scared, and even India was caught up in it. Actually, it should have started from India, because this is our Vedic culture. But because we are also dull-headed, we have to catch, nose not like this, we have to catch. So Prabhupada had to take the same message abroad and then bring it back. So then we got the stamp of being imported. So imported thing we all like, you know, it's an imported religion, Vedic culture. So now we will all take it. And the benefit was such that the impact still continues. And you and me are being impacted. So today I just thought that what impact has happened on us. Instead of me speaking, I thought if 2-3 of you all could volunteer and tell us that how, when you came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, how it changed your life. So I just like to request 2-3 of our girls, if they can come here and speak on the mic their experiences, that how this revolution, when you got in contact with this revolution, how it changed your life. So can I request Braj Swamini? She is Varda. You all heard her. I'll request Varda, and then maybe Shruti can come. And who else? Bijal? Bijal is here. Would you like to hear them? Say Hari Bol loudly then.
Actually, we've heard that Yudhishthir Maharaj said the most amazing thing in the world was when living entities, you see a lot of people dying, but the people who still remain think that they stay forever. And that's the most amazing thing he said. And after hearing Vishakha Mahataji speak and listening to Prabhupada's life, with all due disrespect to Yudhishthir Maharaj, I think Srila Prabhupada is very amazing. And he's made a lot of impact in our life. When I just spoke to Vishakha Mahataji that what am I supposed to speak? She said, what would your future be if Srila Prabhupada wasn't there in your life? And I was thinking. And still I'm thinking that what would my future be if Srila Prabhupada wasn't there in my life? Because it's very hard to imagine if he wasn't there. From my personal front, I can say I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth and I was really pampered. And I was a total terror at home. I never got well along with my mom. And a terror teen, I don't need to go into details with what things I would be possibly doing. And it's just by some fortune that I got acquainted with devotees and Srila Prabhupada, that all of a sudden I wanted to be nice. I wanted to give respect. I wanted to be very good to everyone. I don't know why, but it just happened all of a sudden. And I was an atheist earlier on, and I had a lot of pleasure, you know, telling my mom that God doesn't exist, and that's why things are so bad in my life, even though my mom was very religious. And every time anything wrong happened in my life, I actually grabbed the opportunity to tell her that God didn't exist. So after this Prabhupada came into my life, everything changed. And everything happened so nice, everything was so nice, it was just perfect. And even in terms of my job, I can just give you an example to say, my boss, I'm a journalist by profession, and my boss is an atheist. And I had my appraisals last year, and during that time he mentioned, in the first line of my appraisal said, she's the human of the highest category. And he said that she's very compassionate and very kind. And for me, I just thanked Prabhupada, because it wasn't really effort for me to be compassionate. As a journalist, you're expected to put yourself in others' shoes. But for me, it wasn't difficult at all, because Prabhupada actually gave me that. You know, he taught us to be compassionate. He taught us to be kind. He taught us to be sensitive to the lower rung of the population, to help the needy. And that's what, it wasn't anything difficult for at all to me. It wasn't some extra thing which I needed to be put. I'm not saying that those who don't practice Krishna consciousness or they don't have, they've not put, haven't been accustomed to some devotees or something, they lack anything. I'm not saying that. But it's just that by putting Krishna consciousness and putting Prabhupada's instructions in my life, I have something extra. And that little extra is all that you need for your success. I mean, everybody agrees to it. The little extra effort makes us perfect and gives all the success in life. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has given me. And that's what's made me from a terrorizing to a darling daughter, an efficient employee, a faithful friend, and a very law-abiding citizen. You know, the way Vishakapriya Mataji told, that history is full of people who speak about revolutions and who have created revolutions and fought for human rights. But I think Prabhupada was the only person who fought for us to become not just human rights, but to make us right humans so we can be a good citizen. And that's what I've enrolled myself in God's revolution.
Shruti?
What do I speak after Varda? That was really inspiring, thank you. I asked Mataji how much time I have to speak about Prabhupada. She said 2 minutes. I said two less. You give me 2 years, it's still too less. You give me 2 decades, it's still too less. It's really too less. I remember that when I was young, just coming to teens, I remember very clearly that I wanted to look up to someone. I wanted an ideal so badly. And I guess all of us want that. I mean, whether you accept it or not, you just see a new hero, you just see a new actress, you want to be like them. What is that? You're searching for an ideal, aren't you? So that's what Ajahn I was doing. But luckily for me, I would only see the imperfect things in them, you know. See? Something's wrong. See? Something's wrong here. See, I mean, a politician would go wrong, obviously. And anybody, a policeman is bribing, he raped someone, I said, see, no ideas, no ideas. And exactly, that's exactly why, in fact, that was the excuse I was making for not following my culture, for not respecting my parents. Because they're not perfect. They're not my ideal. Why do I respect them? Why? I mean, I totally believed that, you know, I should be really mean and, you know, that should be my attitude. And I thought that was cool. I thought smoking was cool. I thought I was totally on the wrong path, basically, to cut it short. But when Prabhupada came in my life, I thought, wow. And believe me, I couldn't find anything imperfect with him. Even when I went to Indian temples, I saw that, you know, they would discriminate. I mean, I'm sorry to say this in public, but even knowledge would given to only upper castes and to brahmanas, and I don't know how they would define that also. But Prabhupada would give it to anybody who came to him. Just anyone. In fact, what he was doing was taking people here and putting them there. What he was doing was not external revolution is very easy, you know, motivating someone to kill someone. What Hitler did was, okay, he did it, you know, he was a great orator. But what Prabhupada was doing was an inner revolution. He's changing people inside, and that's really tough to do. And he did it single-handedly. That's amazing. So from that point, I remember I read the biographies, the first, when I came to ISKCON, I think the first of the books I read was Prabhupada's biography, and I was blown out. I read so many books, but nothing like it, definitely. And I think ISKCON, he created such a family that you find people of all colors and all dancing together. That was such an amazing thing. And really, I think I would just be repetitive to say that I can't imagine where I would have been if Prabhupada was not in my life. Definitely not here. Maybe in some discotheque, some smoking or drugs or something. Definitely. But definitely not here. Thank you.
Ishwarya is here.
Hari Bol. Thank you, Vishakapriya Mataji, for giving me this opportunity to share with my friends here how much Prabhupada has touched my life. I'm sure many of my friends here have so much to share that how Prabhupada has touched each and every one of their lives. When I was thinking about what I have to speak, the first thing that came in my mind that when I was in my college or now at my workplace, I see people with so much struggle in their life, having different problems in their life, and how much they get bewildered and they don't know how to go about with it. And the first thing that comes into my mind is just Prabhupada's mercy, that now we have learned how to look at life, how to look at life with a different perspective. Being born in a religious cultured family, though I can say that I did not have real concept of God. And generally we just have an occasional worship of God and then we forget, you know, throughout the year who God is. Janmashtami comes, you celebrate. Something comes and you become God conscious and then you forget it. But the real concept of who God is, what devotional service is, it is just because of Prabhupada you have come to know. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, we actually look at life with a real perspective, look at life as a whole. We have some goal in life. Otherwise, we are just heading towards something which we really don't know. And death is the last thing we thought about in life. And just can't think of facing realities of life. We just neglect realities of life, but just in coming into contact with Srila Prabhupada's movement actually helps us to look at realities of life with a real perspective. Also, there's so much to say, but the most important thing after coming here, I got to see wonderful people. I have friends, you can see friends here whom you can always count on, whether in good times or bad times. And even if, you know, you are of no use to them, you can see that they are always there for you. Unlike, as Vishakha just mentioned, that how friends are in normal materialistic life. Also after coming here, we experience the real love and the selflessness of devotees. And it is not that these devotees have just descended from the sky or they have just come from anywhere. But it is that just because Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful disciples touched their lives, so they themselves have become such wonderful touchstones. Finally, I would just like to say that even after spending such little time in Krishna consciousness, to just imagine life without Prabhupada is impossible. I would like to conclude with two lines saying, Srila Prabhupada gave us a house in which the whole world can live. So come one, come all, this is the best gift that we can receive. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. How Prabhupada has touched my life, to begin with, I'd like to narrate a story. Once upon a time, there was an old man was once sowing a mango seed in his garden. And along with him was his young grandchild. And was surprised to see his old grandfather sowing a mango seed. So he asked his grandfather, "Why are you sowing this mango seed in this garden? You will never get an opportunity to enjoy this seed, enjoy these mangoes." So the grandfather lovingly smiled at this young child and said, "My dear grandchild, I know that I may never get an opportunity to receive the fruits of this tree, but you will one day enjoy these fruits." So the child he didn't understand much, but after many years, when now he was a young man, he was receiving those mango fruits. And when he was enjoying those mango fruits, remember the words of his grandfather, like because of the efforts of his grandfather and the pain he has taken, the selfless endeavor he has done to sow this mango seed and take care of that plant and tree, now that he is receiving all these fruits and enjoying them. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada has done for same thing has Srila Prabhupada done for us. Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, went to the West. He had already perfected his life and he was staying in Vrindavan. But still, just for us, he took all the risk, all the trouble and went to the West and sowed that seed of Krishna consciousness. And here we are today, receiving the fruits of all his efforts and endeavors. We're just receiving. We are not doing anything but just receiving. We are just on the receiving end, receiving the fruits. Today we are having so many festivals, so many programs, so many centers, so many temples all over the world. We are just receiving and we have not paid any prices for it. So that is Srila Prabhupada. And it is so rare that He has even given an opportunity for people like us, as Shruti was telling. And initially the temples, they used to distinguish this caste, that caste, and this person is not allowed, that person is not allowed. Sri Prabhupada has opened the door for everybody and is giving that knowledge to everybody. So it is so rare to receive this devotional service and to an opportunity to engage in all the services, to attend all these programs. So ultimately, I would like to pray and pray that I will be eternally grateful, like that young man who was very grateful for his grandfather's efforts. I will be similarly grateful for Srila Prabhupada for all the efforts he has done by giving us, and thus now we are receiving all these fruits of his endeavors.
Anybody else would like to speak? Actually, we all could. Please come. What's your name? So we'd like to invite Bhakti Lata Beach. She's from Alachua. Do you all know where that is? Florida, right?
I'm one of those people that were in America that my parents are devotees, and they were inspired by Srila Prabhupada, and they came to Krishna consciousness, and I wouldn't be here in Mumbai if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada. It's very inspiring to see everyone here. And to me, it's a novelty to see Indians taking Krishna consciousness seriously, because it's kind of a struggle in the West. It's, if you wear a sari, people think you're wearing a bed sheet. So it's to see people taking Krishna consciousness seriously, that they become inspired, is very inspiring for me. And if, when I live in the West and I see just thousands of people, and they're all so affected by Srila Prabhupada, and if it wasn't for him, like, I would just not be here. I don't know where I would be. And I think, like, it's realizing the gratitude that is there for Srila Prabhupada. And that's all I wanted to say, that I'm grateful to everyone here, and to share that experience, that I wouldn't be here, that I'm one of those people from the West that my parents were inspired, and then I had to take the initiative to be inspired myself, even though I've been born and raised with this. In some ways, maybe we're similar, because I've been born and raised with this Krishna consciousness, but there was a point where I needed to take it seriously. So there, I think we all have the turning point where we're like, you know, I want to go somewhere with my life and dedicate my life to Krishna. And so in that way, I think there's a kindred spirit there. So thank you.
Thank you, Bhakti Lata Beach. This was not a drama performance that she did. Today many people can, what do they put in their eyes to cry? Glycerin. These tears are from deep within the heart. These are tears of gratitude that one feels when you know what something means to you. So actually, the whole lecture, if you forget, if you just remember her tears, that will be enough to make you realize that what a personality Srila Prabhupada was. In fact, when I chose this topic, I was finding it so difficult that how can I, as Shruti said rightly, how to limit it? Volumes of books have been written by so many devotees of how Prabhupada has touched their lives. So how can you cover in 40-45 minutes of what he means? But this is so true, especially for the youth. When I was coming from Mira Road to temple over here, I was sitting in the first class compartment, and one lady was sitting in front of me before I entered the train. And she was old lady, wrinkled face, and she was wearing a t-shirt, and she was wearing a skirt, fancy. And from the time I boarded, the mirror was in front of her, and she was putting hairstyle in, I think till two stations, she was just trying to figure out different hairstyles she should put. Every time she would look into the mirror, is this perfect? Then she took out her lipstick and she started putting it on her lips and then in her some makeup on her eyes and on her cheeks. And I was getting so tempted to ask her one question. Auntie, what is your age? I really wanted to ask her that. I was controlling myself lest she feel offended. But the way she was dressing up, I guess she was almost 65, 70. Yeah, she looked that much. And I thought, which boyfriend are you going to meet now? Whom are you dating today? It was that bad. And I was feeling so grateful in my heart. Actually, because of Prabhupada's mercy in our life, any situation you see, you can immediately feel that. Then when I was walking down from Grant Road Station to the temple, I saw a big hoarding, you know. And on that it was written that I want to be a heroine and I will do anything for that. And she was half naked lady. It's still there. If you're going back, it's opposite, which? Ruya College Lane. There's a big hoarding over there. And I'll do anything to become a heroine. Means, I'll not wear anything, or I'll wear anything, or I'll dress up anyway, or I'll do anything. But I want to become that. These are the revolutions that are going on in the world. That I, kuch banke dikhana hai. I want to become something and I want to show the world. But what are you becoming in the whole process? Just a joker. That's all you can become. What else you can become in this world? So we feel the revolutions that are going on in this world are so many. It's only a matter of choice that you have to make, that which revolution you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of the revolution of jokers and join the circus which is going on today in the world. Actually, a circus is going on. People think that they are doing something great, but those with knowledge or some common sense will only laugh at that, as I was feeling like laughing at that old lady. And the other ladies also in the compartment, they were looking and I could, all of them were just trying to control their smile. But all were young girls and this was the oldest lady and she was doing the most like this. So it's a circus going on. It's a real life circus. You don't have to pay a ticket and go to a circus. Just look around and you'll find enough jokers to entertain you in this world. So many revolutions are going. Be intelligent and make the right type of choice. This is the age of choices. If you make the wrong choice, your life is ruined. If you make the right choice, your life is made. So be intelligent. And in one sense, if you go to see, Prabhupada said that, I mean, we might say that it was a bloodless revolution, but actually it is not true. Because Srila Prabhupada said that to make one devotee, it took 40 gallons of blood almost. 40 gallons of blood had to be shed to make one devotee. And when you see that there are hundreds of devotees, just think of the gallons of blood Prabhupada shed. So that way it was a bloody revolution also, if you think in that sense. But we should try to understand that what amount of sacrifice this person did and with what understanding. He realized that the pen is more powerful than the sword. You heard the saying that you might fight wars with the sword, but if I just write something with a pen, it could have more far-reaching effects than that. And Srila Prabhupada capitalized on this. And what he did? At times of the night when we are sleeping, or half the world is sleeping and half the world is deep and steep into deep areas of sense gratification. All bad things happen at night, right? Bars remain open in the night. You see? Brothels are open in the night. Gambling dens are, everything is open in the night. In the daytime, what do you find open? Doodh ka dairy. Schools are open in the day. Good things are happening in the world in the day. Bad things happen in the night. So when the whole world was doing bad things in the night, Srila Prabhupada, understanding the principle of the pen being more powerful than the sword, what he started doing? He would write books. He was writing down eternal truths of God so that this transcendental knowledge could disseminate to every single member of the society. Because not everybody is going to come to the temple, but books can go to everybody. Understanding this principle, he used to sleep hardly 2 to 3 hours in the night. He spent sleepless nights so that he could dispel this ignorance and truly educate the world with this transcendental knowledge. So he did so much for us that it is very difficult to be able to even enumerate it. And at times when this whole world is going to the dogs, he did this for us. And he didn't conquer land and he didn't conquer wealth like Napoleon and Alexander did, as they were mentioning. What did he do? He conquered hearts. It's much more difficult to conquer hearts. You can take a gun and shoot somebody and say, surrender to me. And somebody is forced to surrender. But when people surrender out of love, that is real surrender. You are not giving them a penny. You are not giving them any threat of a gun. But still, people are just surrendering their lives. For what? Because their lives have been impacted by this revolution, that they feel like doing this. Why would a foreigner like Bhaktilata Beej and her parents, who have so much of opulence in the Western countries, want to do this? Why would they want to do this? Because they could feel that weapon of love entering into their heart. They could feel that. So just to conclude, that this holy war, which was waged by this revolutionary personality, has been predicted to go on for the next 10,000 years. The longest revolution by far. Some revolutions last for a decade, a few years. But this revolution, this bloodless revolution that Prabhupada started, has been predicted to last for 10,000 years. And you and me both can be a part of it, if we so choose to it. Srila Prabhupada said that, I am one old man, what can I do? He said, I am one old man, what can I do? So he used to beg people that please join this revolution. Please join this war of God on behalf of Him. And he said, even if I had a handful of people, in 18 days, I could conquer the whole world with Krishna consciousness. I could flood the whole world if I had a handful of dedicated people with conviction that this is the right thing to be done. So could we become a part of those handful of people? That is the decision that we have to make in life. And this type of programs that we have over here are just to enlighten us, to wake us up to this reality that, yes, this is a permanent thing which will help me and help everyone. Not the temporary things that I am trying to do in this world, which will last for a few years, not even benefit me and not benefit anybody. So this is the highest social welfare work that we could all do. Join this bloodless revolution and become a part of this holy war that Srila Prabhupada has started. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Questions?
We'll take one or two questions if anybody has. No questions?
First of all, thanks for whatever you said. It was really nice to hear that. But whatever you said was actually correct, and we know that we should follow it. But at this point of time, what should be the first step, what we should do? The first thing, the next thing, what we should do? What is it?
This is such a wonderful question to ask. That, okay, actually, this was the question Arjuna asked Krishna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. You know that? Did you know this? When he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna that, okay Krishna, now I'm convinced. Now what should I do? And what did Krishna tell him? Anybody knows? He said, just try to put into practice what you have heard. And when we are surrounded by other people who are already doing that, it becomes much more easier, right? It's very easy to start taking drinks if you are among drunkards. Very easy to start smoking if you are with smokers. Very easy to take drugs if you are with drug addicts. Same way, if you are with God addicts, it's very easy to become addicted to God. So, if we are convinced that yes, this is what I should be doing, then we should do that. The Krantikaris, as we say, the revolutionaries, the freedom fighters, they used to have meetings where like-minded people could be with each other, that they could get infected with the desire that yes, I have to fight for India. Even if it means that I have to go against the whole trend of the world. I am ready to do that. So they would have secret meetings. At least in India you don't have to have secret meetings. In Russia and all, they have to have secret meetings because it is not allowed. Suddenly there is kirtan and satsang going on and the police comes. And what has to happen? Everybody has to disperse as if nothing was going on. It is not even allowed over there. So in India, we are so fortunate that we can openly meet, talk about Ram, talk about Krishna and get inspiration from each other. So please, first thing you have to do is start seriously attending these type of programs and make friends among these type of people so that you know what further to do. And keep in touch. Don't make it a one-time program. Like I go for a kitty party once or I go for a some other program once. It's just a one-time program. Don't let this type of programs be a one-time program. And nobody will be at a loss if you do that except yourself. So, again as it is said that be intelligent like we discussed in the beginning of the lecture. In the morning discuss about Mahabharata. In the afternoon discuss about Ramayana. And in the evening discuss about the chore, Krishna. Those are the three things. Basically we want to just fill our lives with good things. If a glass is full of good things, there is very less chance for any bad things to do. But today we have kept our glass so empty that I am very open. Let anything affect me, you know. Good, bad, anything. So we are so crazy, you know. If you fill it with milk, something good, then there is no place for wine. But if you keep it open, then wine can also come, milk can. Oh, I am very open. Anything is okay. But we should not be so foolish and just be open to anything. That much discrimination we should have that what is good, what is bad. And that is what we teach over here. That sharpen your brains, sharpen your intelligence and see, be discriminative. It's okay?
Thank you.
One more question or we go to the next program? Question? So thank you very much. Now we go to the next part of the program, which is Kirtan. Before that, we have a couple of announcements which Vardha would make. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Vishakha Priya Mataji, for a very lovely and inspiring lecture. Today we
have. More inspiring was what you all spoke. And I was so inspired by that.
Today we have with us a very special guest, Dr. Shalika Jaiswal. She is a pediatric surgeon and a lecturer in Nair Hospital. She is very much interested in giving her special services to the needy. She is, though very, very qualified person, she is very simple and a very wonderful mother. Would you like to say something?
This is, first of all, I would like to thank Mr. Girish and his wife for making me come here and to meet all dignitaries. I really enjoyed this lecture. And it was great coming here, coming to God's temple. It was like meeting coming to such a nice and auspicious place. And where I would like to introduce me, as she has already introduced me. I'm lecturer in Nair Hospital. I work as a pediatric surgeon there. I'm also a ladies surgeon. And I like to extend my services to this institute. All those who come here, they have beautiful bodies and a beautiful soul, that I would like to say. They have really made a mark of themselves in the world.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jaiswal. Now the most exciting part of the program, Kirtan.
Next Chetna. 1 minute, we'll announce about the next Chetna festival, which will be on the 4th of October.
So the next Chetna festival is on 4th of October and the topic is, a friend in need is a friend indeed. So all of you, I'm sure, will find this topic very, very interesting. And we have a wonderful speaker, Her Grace Kalindi Mataji. She is a doctor Her name is Dr. Shama Shah. She's an anesthetist and she's working in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And she's a very, very senior devotee in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it's our great honor that she's going to give our next Chetna. So all of you, please mark this day and see that you bring more of your friends and come yourself with as many people as possible to make this program a success. And we go on to our next program, which is the most interesting and the most enjoyable. And I would like to introduce our singer for today. It is Bhakti. Her name is Bhakti and she's, a Gurukuli. That means she is born in the movement of Krishna consciousness. Her parents are disciples of Srila Prabhupada and she's grown up in this movement and Kirtan is in her blood. And she is studying in Alachua, Florida and she is visiting our temple for the first time. And all of you, I'm sure we'll definitely enjoy this kirtan. So all of you participate with complete enthusiasm with this kirtan, okay? You can stand up to have the dancing kirtan.
Jai Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Oh Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.